All right, everybody, we're back. It is the Jaguar Journal. Good morning to everybody out there listening on Talk 107.3 FM across the Baton Rouge capital city area. And everybody watching across the world on our YouTube, Facebook, X, Twitch TV, wherever you keep up with us, man. We're talking SWAC football today. And listen, as we continue to go with the show today, I got another very special guest here on the show. And he's the head football coach at Alabama State. He is an exceptional guy when it comes to Alabama State, because not only is he the head football coach, he's an alum of the institution, two-time SWAC Defensive Player of the Year. He's the college football, in terms of Black College Football Hall of Famer. He's an Alabama State Hall of Famer. He is a SWAC Hall of Famer and played in the NFL for 11 years and now headed into his fifth season with the Alabama State Hornets with an overall 30-16 record and 21-11 in SWAC play. I want to welcome him here to the show this morning, Coach Eddie Robinson Jr. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning. How you guys doing? How you guys doing today?
Doing good, man. How about yourself?
Man, I'm doing good. I'm in the middle of a bike ride, so if I'm breathing a little hard, that's why.
It's okay, man. Listen, you get a chance to be on the airwaves in your neck of the woods, because right up the road is New Orleans, where you grew up, man, and where you had a stellar high school career, made your way to Alabama State. And when you talk about Alabama State, nobody knows that program and that institution more than you, as a prestigious alum and now being able to lead that program. Last year, in 2025, you guys went double digits wins, 10 wins on the season, 7-1. I had a chance to see this team twice in 2025 when you guys came here to Baton Rouge to take on Southern. Then I went up to Jackson State for Jackson's homecoming when you guys had a chance to play. That was an instant classic. Let me tell you, Coach, I have not been excited for a SWAC game of that magnitude in quite some time. It did not work in your favor, but when you left that game, you had to leave with your head held high and say, man, we left it all out on the field. When you look at 2025, man, your thoughts in recapping this season?
Well, yes, I think you summed it up pretty good. You know, early in the season playing UAB and coming real close and going down there to Southern, playing at Mumford, that's always just a great experience for me, especially rooting for the Jaguars in the Bayou Classic. And in that Jackson State game, it was just a great game to be a part of. I have a lot of respect for, you know, Jackson State and T.C. Taylor, man. He's truly a SWAC guy. And, you know, sometimes those great games, you don't come on top, but it still makes it a great game. And when you look back at it, that's one of the historic games to ever be played in the Vet. And so it was just a great year, you know, going down the line, had a tight win against Prairie View. They missed the last second field goal. And so for us, it was a really good year. It can't be a great year till you win championships. And so I love everything that you said, love Mabayo, but, you know, the biggest part of that now that's missing is winning the SWAC championship in the Celebration Bowl. So that's the mission and the goal, and we're back at work trying to make it happen.
Let's look at the things that you're talking about going to work in 2026. Looking back last year, you had the number one scoring offense in the conference at Alabama State, averaging 42 points a game. When you look at total offense, you had the number one total offense in the conference, averaging 462 yards a game. Now let's look at the quarterback room and the wide receiver room for you, because you were first in the conference last year, Coach, and number one in the conference at Alabama State, averaging 248 passing yards a game. You get Andrew Boddy back. The question is, can he remain healthy through the year? But your quarterback room stepped up for you last year when he went down. What are you looking to improve with Andrew Boddy this year in the quarterback room along with your wide receivers?
Well, yeah, I think the biggest thing going into 25, we were a little bit concerned about, did we have explosive playmakers at wide receiver? And you had some guys that stepped up in Jalen Jones, and now he's moved on to another school. But I feel like this year, from a receiver standpoint, we have some explosive guys. You know, we have an Eric Horn kid out of Carver High School right there in New Orleans. Kareem Key, who was actually the quarterback from a couple years ago, explosive wide receiver. So I feel like what made it so good last year was Andrew Boddy and everything that he was able to do. But then we had receivers who could take a 10-yard play and go 30 or 40 yards. So it becomes players over plays. You know, we can put you in position to make the play, but at the end of the day, if you can't make one guy miss or make two guys miss or outrun the defense, then we're not going to be effective. And I think from Andrew, first of all, like you said, stay healthy, man. Stay upright, be smart, make good decisions, and just knowing when to run. You know, I always tell them, if you want to play at the next level in the NFL, you can't be a running quarterback. You got to be a quarterback who can run. And so if he can be a quarterback and then run on his terms, then I think we'll be even better.
Andrew Boddy, of course, the SWAC preseason offensive player of the year, turned a lot of heads nationally last year when you guys went on the road and to take on UAB, and the performance in that ball game was one to remember that he put everybody on notice about Alabama State. Now you're talking about your offense, the top in the conference. When you look at the running side, on the rushing side, you guys were second in the conference and running the ball 213 yards a game in terms of your average. What are you looking to improve with your running back room and your O-line when you're looking at trying to open those holes and get those guys up the field?
Yeah, we lost a couple really good offensive linemen, two guys who were all conference, but we bring back two all conference guys. Elijah Baker's all American. That's a guy that was a walk-on at Alabama State. Reminded me of myself, first 3 years, didn't play a lot. Last year, stepped up, made all conference and all American, and Desmond Penn. Those two guys have been here since my first year. So you're talking about two fifth-year guys, and you know, in college football today, you don't see a lot of fifth-year all conference guys coming back. So it's just very appreciative of those young men to contribute to what they're doing at Alabama State, and they want to end with a championship. And in the backfield, got some explosive guys, man. Moody, Holzclaw, who was a preseason all-conference guy coming back. And I think it's just, I'm a defensive guy, so it's always special teams, defense, and then offense. And I love the explosiveness, but when you can run the football, my big guys, every time we run for 300 yards, they go to Golden Corral. So they have a lot of incentives. And you're talking about big guys on the Sunday at a Golden Corral. And the funny story of that, man, they time it up just perfect with my O-line coach Carr and side my assistant. So they go right at the brunch time. So they get the breakfast and then they stay to switch over to me. I'm like, man, I'd be ashamed to show my face up in there when they finish.
They show out, huh?
Oh, man, they get the turnover. Once that meal turns over to that lunch dinner, they revamp. So it's amazing to watch.
We call that get the most bang for your buck, Coach.
Hey, I get the most. Money well spent.
You know, you talk about defensive guy. You've had one of the best defenses in the conference leading up into last year, and then you finally got the offense right there at the top of the conference. And last year, when you look at Alabama State's defense, third in the conference in terms of scoring defense, giving up an average of 21 points a game. Now, let's look at total defense. Alabama State, sixth in the conference. You giving up 359 yards an average a game last year. Then defensively, when you talk about run defense, Alabama State, seventh in the conference, 178 yards rushing, giving up on defense. And then pass defense last year, Alabama State, second in pass defense, giving up 180 yards an average game last year in pass. What are you looking to improve? Because you normally have stout linebackers and you keep the trenches straight, but what are you looking to improve when you look at making this defense back one of the top in the conference?
Yeah, so I think you kind of mentioned it. The biggest thing for us, you know, it's demoralizing when you can't stop the run. So as good as we were third in the conference. You know, our expectation is to be first in the conference and top five in the country every year. And so some coaches may say, man, coach, you were third in the conference, pretty good. For us, we looked at it as a bad year. And so Coach Gresham, my defensive coordinator, he wasn't happy with it, nor was I. We got some good defensive linemen that came into us, some JUCO guys. Michael Joyner is the guy that's going into his third year, and Carnell Harris, another St. Augustine product, going into his third year. So I think we got some young guys who are ready to mature, some older guys to come in and help us out. And that defense is going to be a lot better. And so as a defensive guy, you know, we want to pride ourselves on stopping the run and making the offense one-dimensional, and then being better on third down. We didn't have a really good third down percentage on defense, and when you have an explosive offense and really good special teams, whenever you can get a third down stop, it just makes the whole team and momentum moving your direction. So we know we have some room for improvement. It looks better in the spring, but you know, until we get out there the first game against Southern, we'll find out. Because I know they want to run the football, so that's going to be a really good test for us early on.
Let's not forget about that third phase special teams. Coach, what are you looking to improve in 2026 when you talk about your special team side of the ball?
Oh, man, you can't kick, you can't win. You know, my kids, they know that. Coach Markham taught me that. If you don't have good special teams, you cannot win. So we spend more time on that, I'm sure, than anyone in the country. And so we have Nehemiah Hickson, all-conference returner, who was a freshman, did some great things. Long snapper and Garrett Willimon, and then Andrew, our field goal kicker. So we feel like we should have the best special teams in the conference. And we put starters on special teams. I tell the guys, you know, you want to play at the next level. I was a defensive player of the year after my junior year. And Coach Markham, during that summer, he put all the four starting linebackers and the backup middle linebacker on kickoff return on the front wall. And so that was the difference of us making it to that next level of committing to having starters on special teams. And so when I got to the NFL as a second-round pick, the first preseason game, you know where I was at, on kickoff time. It wasn't foreign to me. So, and I tell the guys, if you want to play at the next level, especially coming out of the conference, you have to show the NFL scouts that you can play special teams at a high level. So we put starters on special teams. We commit to it, and we want to be the best at it. We've blocked field goals and punts that have helped us to win football games, so we understand how important it is.
Let's look at those first three games of the season, non-conference games. You got Southern up in Birmingham for the Birmingham Football Classic, then Lane College over in Montgomery before you take on Troy over in Troy, Alabama. Let's start, of course, the first game, Southern University, Jaguars versus the Hornets, Birmingham, Alabama, Legion Field is going to be a big one. You get a chance to play at Legion twice this year for the Magic City Classic as well as the Birmingham Football Classic.
Yeah, that's a beautiful game. I mean, we talked about it at the press conference with Coach Falk, and just kudos to Charles McClellan, Dr. Charles McClellan, our commissioner, and my AD, Dr. Cable. I mean, putting that game together, the Birmingham Classic, you know, instead of us having to play a non-conference, quote-unquote, money game, when you can play a game against another SWAC opponent in a city like Birmingham who loves SWAC football, is a win-win for both schools, and it's something that we want to continue. Whether it's Alabama State or two other schools, just to keep that Birmingham Classic going. To open up the season at Legion Field, and then you know you come back with the Magic City Classic in October. And then Mayor Wolfen, the mayor of Birmingham, is a big supporter of the conference and the Magic City Classic. So that's just it's an all-around win-win for everybody. You know, ultimately for us, we got to win the game to make it a really win-win. But it's great for both schools.
Let me ask you this, Coach, because coming into your fifth year at Alabama State and you're trying to get over that hump, like you said, to not only get to Atlanta but to win that championship, and now more than ever with Andrew Boddy, this offense, and improving with this defense, for you, what are you looking to do in 2026? What have you learned about yourself going into year five in order to get this ship headed in the right direction the way that you have?
Yeah, I think the AD kind of said it in our meeting, and we were 3 points away from losing the Commissioner's Cup as a university, and that's one of the goals that we always set out for. So it's leave no doubt. I think we played to a high level, but we left doubt as far as who was the best team, and then when that happens, you know, the rules that were set before the season started didn't fall our way. You say, well, yeah, you beat Prairie View, and they won the set. Like, well, you didn't go by the rules that were set, so you know what should have happens. So you can't go on coulda, shoulda, woulda. You have to sharpen your pencil, get a little better. And I think the way we have to play is just play dominant football. Stop waiting for it to come down to a field goal or last play of the game. And so we're practicing like that. Like, everything in the room matters. So we're increasing our level of discipline. Our leaders got to be leaders. And just making sure that we're doing everything right on and off the football field. And that'll give us that little bit more margin of error. So that way, you know, football is an imperfect game, so we're trying to make an imperfect game perfect. And so and when you do that, you got to have a strengthening routine of what you're doing every day. And so that way, when the era of uncontrollability happens, then you have left no doubt. You know, so, hey, that last touchdown, you didn't score, but you were winning by 20 points, so it didn't cost you the ball game. And that's the mindset we're having.
My last question before I get ready to let you get back to your bike ride this morning. You guys picked to finish first in the SWAC East. How do you then take a team into fall camp and keep them level-headed and keep the main thing, as they say?
Yeah, so I think for us, we always say the strength is in the routine. It doesn't matter if the outcome is the process. You know, it's like our job is to go out there and score every time we touch the ball on offense. Defense is, I say, our job is to not let them score at all and try to end with a turnover and not just a kick. And so I think if you have that type of mentality of always finding one more thing that you can improve on every day, we're always stressing win today. So if you're worried about what you were picked at or whoever was picked at, the good thing is we have to play the games. And so it doesn't matter if you were picked first or last, you get a chance to go out there and prove them right or prove them wrong. And so for us, we want to try to prove them right.
Coach, you know, you sound pretty good at this, like you've done this media thing before in your past.
Yeah, a little bit.
Well, I appreciate you for taking the time, Coach, out of your busy schedule and come on and talk to not only me but the many listeners out there and get them an opportunity to learn about your program and get a better understanding, especially for the Southern fans, because game one on August the 29th over in Birmingham, Alabama, the Birmingham Football Classic is going to be Southern University versus Alabama State. I get a chance to get out there and shake your hand and see you, Coach, man. And listen, that should be a great one.
Nah, actually, absolutely, man. And I appreciate you taking out the time to cover SWAC football. You know, we don't take it lightly when guys like you have shows that are dedicated to covering our student-athletes and our universities. As much as we have a great product, we need to make sure that other people know we have a great product. So I appreciate you bringing it up. And and just when the Southern Jaguar Nation come up there, you know, try to be hospitable to us. You know, don't try to go too hard at us. And Birmingham is a beautiful city. There's a Civil Rights Museum, and it's a lot of good things you can do. So come up a day early. You know, enjoy the state of Alabama, and just have a great game.
Hey, we're coming to look for some good food. You know how we do it in Louisiana. You're a Louisiana
Absolutely.
Guy. So, hey, yep. Coach, thank you, man. Enjoy your bike ride. Be safe out there, man, and I appreciate you.
All right, absolutely. Thank you.
All right, everybody. That's the voice of Coach Eddie Robinson Jr., the head football coach over at Alabama State. Let's get ready to take a break. We'll continue to keep more coaches coming on. You guys stay tuned. More of the Jaguar Journal. All right, everybody. We're back. It is the Jaguar Journal. Good morning. Glad to have you guys with us. I'm Perry White. Good morning to everybody listening across the Baton Rouge Capital City area on Talk 107.3 FM. Everybody watching across the world on our YouTube, Facebook, X, and Twitch TV. Glad to get you guys in with us as we continue to talk SWAC football. Now, let's go up to North Louisiana, right? The Tigers of Grambling State. And we're joined by their head coach today. And let me give you a little background of this guy because he is a Louisiana guy right out of Marrero, Louisiana, where he was the top recruit coming out of Archbishop Shaw High School. He was a first-team All-American as well as the Gatorade Player of the Year. Not only that, played at quarterback at the University of Nebraska, where he posted a 39-9-1 overall record with appearances in two Orange Bowls, a Citrus Bowl, as well as a Fiesta Bowl. Out of 34 regular season games played, accounted for 30 touchdowns, 16 rushing, and 14 passing. He's coached all over the place, including Nichols State, Central Oklahoma, Langston, Nebraska, LSU, and now he's the head guy up at Grambling State. Want to welcome him to the show this morning, my man, Coach Mickey Joseph. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning, Perry. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
You know, just in here, just doing a little work this morning. Last OTAs coming up next week. And get them out of here for a little break and then let them report back and get it rocking and rolling after that.
Hey, I just wanted to make sure everybody put some respect on your playing days. Make sure they didn't forget about you in your Archbishop Shaw days, man.
Hey, listen, I tell them all the time. We tell them all the time we won a lot of games at Shaw. We won a lot of games. And Coach Hank Tierney, you know, was a guy that coached all of us. And we have a lot of whole bunch of respect for the state of Louisiana. You know, that's what I'm thinking. Like, we got to be able to recruit and keep kids here in Louisiana, you know, in Louisiana, because that's where they play top football at. They play top football in the state of Louisiana. I do believe that, and I coached all over, and we have some talent here. We have some hidden talent also.
Let's look at your team in 2025, Coach, where you finished 7-5. 4-4 in conference play. Give us a recap of looking at your team. Fell short in the Bayou Classic against Southern, but you had some ups and downs and injuries played a part into that season.
Yeah, you know, we finished the season with our fourth guy, and you know, but like I told Hayden, you know, nobody cares that you're the fourth guy. They still expect us to win. That's one thing unique about athletics. Don't care the downfall. You know, what you're playing with, people still expect you to win. But when that market crashed, everybody's, oh, I feel so bad. But in football and athletics, it's a little different. But, you know, we came up short. We had a lot of one-score losses. We had 9 of them since I've been here. So we had to go back as a staff, and I had to go back as a head coach and figure out what could I do better in those situations and what could we do better as a staff to have the kids in a comfortable situation when they're in those situations. So we went back. We did a lot of 4-minute, a lot of 2-minute offense, you know, just to clean up some things and put everybody in the situation, including the coaches. So when the game time comes, we clicking. But you know, it's 7-5. It's not our standard, you know, because we look to do better than 7 wins. But we appreciate it, you know. We on the right track. I think we're on the right track. And we fell short in the Bayou Classic because you got a good program down there, you know. And I mean, you know, when you play that game, you throw the records out the door. But y'all also have a guy that broke some records, and you know, one of the best players to leave Louisiana. And Marsh and I have a great relationship. We always respect each other when we see each other. But I'm rooting for him. You know, I'm rooting for him, and he's coming from a similar situation I came in from. you know, from a different side of the track. Well, you got to get used to how they do it on this side of the track, because this side of the track ain't so bad, you know, when you look into it.
Let's look at your team offensively back in 2025 and ways to improve in 2026. When you look at Grambling State in terms of scoring offense last year, 6th, 8th in the conference, averaging 24 points a game. Total offense, when you look at yards per game, 10th in the conference, 317 yards a game. Coach, now let's talk about the pass. When you look at the quarterback room and the wide receiver room, Grambling State last year ranked 10th in the conference in terms of pass offense, averaging 174 yards a game. What are you looking at 2026 when you look at your quarterback room, wide receivers, and tight ends?
Well, I know that run percentage is going to go up. We're going to make you take on run blocks. We're going to make you take on run blocks. Because one thing this conference can do is run, and they can rush the passer. But we want to see if they can take on run blocks for about 55 or 60 plays and see if they can withstand that. And we want to throw the ball when we want to. And, you know, a lot of that has to do with the injuries that we had at quarterback, but we can't make excuses. We gotta catch the ball. We got to complete it. But there's a lot that goes into passing a football, and people really don't understand that. They think you just call a play and it happens. Well, listen to the scenario. You call the play. You got to have the right protection. You got to make the right read. They got to run the right routes. You got to make sure the ball is there. You got to catch the ball. That's a lot. Why not just turn around and just hand it off? You know, you kind of want that two handoff on play. When you hand it to the running back and he hand it to the referee. So we trying to market in that right now. You know, run the ball a little bit more. We got some excellent backs. We got some great offensive linemen, and we have a stacked talent wise quarterback room, because I'm not gonna let you get me twice. You know, playing with the four guys. So my four guys more than capable of going in there and being comfortable, knowing the system, and helping us win. Into Hayden, you know, defense. Hayden didn't get here until probably the first day of school. So he didn't go through summer. He really didn't go through camp, you know. So and when it was time for him to play to get in the game, you know, he was looking around like, okay, what plays do I know? So he knew too. So we survived that. But he's a great kid. He's going to be a great quarterback here with the 5-for-5. He's back to being a freshman. So we're excited about that run, but we're also excited about the receiver run also. And the tight end run is going to be really better this year also, because we're going to be some 12 personnel, some 13 personnel, some 14 personnel, you know, because we like we said, we want to run the ball, and that's what we're going to do.
Let's look over on the defensive side of the ball for Grambling State last year. Ranked 6th in terms of scoring defense last year, giving up an average of 26 points a game in terms of scoring total defense. Grambling 3rd in the conference, giving up an average of 337 yards a game. Rush defense for the Tigers of Grambling State, 4th in the conference, giving up an average of 141 rushing yards a game. Coach, and then in terms of pass defense, the Grambling State Tigers, 4th. In the conference, giving up an average of 196 yards passing the game. Your team right there in the middle of the pack on the upper side of things, but defense, it seems to where you can hang your hat on last year that kind of kept you around.
That's why we got to keep them fresh. We got to keep them fresh. We got to let them get to their backups. We got to keep them off the field, because Coach Rollins does a really good defense, good job with that defense. And the D-line was the strength last year. I think we led the conference in sacks. So we got to them, but we want to more do this year. We want to tackle the football. We want to be around the football and tackle the football and get more scripts, get more turnovers. But we want to keep them fresh. So it's going to have to play hand-in-hand with us running the football and them staying on the bench being fresh. You know, instead of taking up 45 seconds, try to take up 2 minutes and 35 seconds. You know, so they're going to do a great job on defense, because we have some really good D linemen. You know, our linebackers are back. And I'm really impressed with the secondary, especially the newcomers that's here right now. You know, that they can place a man, but, you know, they're real disciplined in zone. So Coach Rollins still going to do his thing. You know, some of these kids are in the third year, going into the third year with us. So we have 62% of our roster coming back going into their third year. And that's ironic because of the transfer portal.
Mm-hmm.
So we're gonna use that to our advantage, that these kids have stuck with us, and we appreciate that. But we're gonna play good defense. We're gonna play good defense here at Grambling. They always have.
Let me ask you this. You being a former quarterback yourself, dude, how hands-on are you with your quarterbacks up there?
I'm hands on with everybody. So yes, I'm really hands on with the quarterback. You know, I coached him the hardest. I coached him the hardest by being an ex quarterback. I'm going to coach them the hardest because they're the ones that get all the praise, and when they screw up, everybody blame everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
So I've coached them the hardest, and we have a good group. You know, we got a good group: Jacoby Robinson, you know, Asker Fry, you know, RJ just got in here. You know, you're Hayden Benwash that's still here, and you got Skylar Turnbull, you know, from Oklahoma. You know, good freshman that has a bright future. I'm talking about a bright future, and it's going to be hard to hold him here, you know, just because of his background, what he played in Oklahoma City. So they don't get a lot of exposure out there like you get in Louisiana. But mm-hmm. now that he's a Grambling quarterback, the eyes are going to be on it. And so we have a really good room when it comes to quarterbacks.
Let me get to an area that often people overlook, special teams. What are you looking to improve with your special teams in 2026?
Well, we lost them all. We lost them all except one, you know. So we have some new guys coming in, but we're really athletic. So as far as cover teams, we should be okay. Now it's the return teams that we have to figure out: do we want to return the ball or do we want to fair catches? Because when you say you want to fair catch it, that means you're just trying to secure the ball to make sure your offense gets on the field. And it depends how the game's going about what we're going to do with that part of it. But Jashawn Johnson, one of our return guys, played corner. You know, he's preseason second team, all swag as a returner. He does a great job. But like I said, we have a lot of guys capable of doing it. So we're really excited about our special teams. Coach Ricard does a really good job with them. He brings an NFL college background with him. And it helps that he played special teams in the league. Sometimes that's overlooked, that some of these guys who played the sport, they probably know a little more than guys who didn't play the sport just because they were in the action. Sometimes when you're in the middle of the action, you learn a little bit more than instead of on the sideline analyzing, you know. So with Ricard been in the fire, so he can make them understand what it's like to be in the fire. So he's doing a really good job, and we did a good job this summer with that.
You're looking at your team coming in, picked second in the SWAC West right behind Prairie View. All eyes are going to be in Dallas, Texas at the Cotton Bowl September the 26th against Prairie View as 1-2 in the predicted order of finishing the SWAC West. But you get an opportunity to get your team and kind of get them settled early on with non-conference play, starting the season with Clark Atlanta before you take on Central State. Then you're going to have a big one over in Fort Worth with TCU.
Oh, yeah. But you got to understand when Clark comes in here, you know, there's another HBCU, and they're coming to Grambling. You know, we got a lot of history. And we know Coach Sims. Coach Sims is a great head coach. He was a great head coach at Bethune. He's a good friend of mine. He's coming in here. I know my boys. I know the guys I know. They're coming in here to win. They're not coming here to just pick a paycheck up. And he said it. And he should feel like that, because you got to give your kids confidence. But we just got to make sure that they come get some of the history. We just got to make sure they don't make history. You know, same thing with Central State. They got really good players. So it's going to be – people always say it's a tune-up game when you're playing these D2 schools. You're supposed to beat them. Well, yeah, you're supposed to beat them. But when you do beat them, everybody throw their hands up and say, oh, you should have beat them. But you know what? We want to make sure we're sharp. We want to make sure those games are clean. We want to make sure that we get a good look at some of our kids, you know, that's early on without having the red shirt in effect anymore. It's 5-for-5. So you want to try to see if you can put some of those young kids in the game early, because when you get to TCU, then you got an off week. That's going to be good, because that off week's going to be like a game for some of these kids, because we're going to feel like they're right there, you know, that they're right there. And then you're going to go into Dallas with PV. But right now we're focusing on ourselves. We'll get to Clark and we'll get to Central once we get back in camp. But we have had a hell of a OTAs and off-season conditioning. You know, Andy and Albert, our two strength coaches, does a great job, and my coach has done a great job. And you take my hat off to my kids, because they really came here and they really had a different mentality. And it says something when they're with you going on your third year, because now you don't have to say as much because they know what you want. So we're looking forward to this season. We're excited. We're excited for the fan base, the supporters like they have. We have one of the best fan bases in the country, and it's nothing like Grand Fam.
Well, Coach, I appreciate you for taking time out of your busy schedule and coming on and not only talking to me, but talking to the people out there and get a chance to get a better insight into your program headed into 2026. That's the voice of Coach Mickey Joseph. Coach, I wish you much success until we get to November 28th down in New Orleans.
hey, I tell them all the time, I root for Southern. You know, you had Dooley, you had Graves, you had Rollins, you had all my boys, and now you got Marshall, my boys. I root for y'all every day of the year except that Saturday. and then right after that, it is what it is. I love that game. I love the competition. I love the way the kids compete against each other. They know each other after the game. They hug and saying, great game. It's a great feeling, and it's probably one of the biggest games I ever played in besides the national championship game, but the atmosphere is awesome. And I just got to take my hat off to the Flack with the media days. This was my third media day, and I'm telling you now, it's big time. It's an awesome event. They do a great job with it. This is a great conference, and we want to continue to represent this conference at a high level. So, you know, we play each other, but I love that the competition that we have in this conference, but y'all do a good job down there in Baton Rouge. And like I said, I still have my house down there in Baton Rouge. It's been good to me. And I love the state of Louisiana. But I only can root for y'all, you know, outside of us.
Well, Coach, I appreciate you. Thank you for coming on this morning, man. And good luck to you as you head into fall camp, man. And have a great rest of your day.
Thank you.
All right, everybody, that's the voice of Coach Mickey Joseph, the head football coach up at Grambling State. Let's get ready to take a break. We got more to come, so you guys stay tuned. More of the Jaguar Journal. All right, everybody, we're back. It is the Jaguar Journal. Good morning. Glad to have you guys with us. I'm Perry White. Good morning to everybody listening to Talk 107.3 FM across the Baton Rouge Capital City area and everybody watching on our live on YouTube, Facebook, X, on Twitch TV, wherever you're catching us across the world this morning. Glad to have you guys with us. Now, as we move forward, this guy right here, I'm going to give him all the introduction because in 2025, he was the SWAC Coach of the Year. In 2025, his team won the SWAC Football Championship. And he has had a tremendous coaching career, had his playing career at Texas Southern before going up to Monroe, playing UL, Monroe, playing for them for a couple years. And then guess what? A coaching career that started with as a head coach at Colorado Mesa, where he was 10-3, 7-2 in conference play. Then going over to Valdosta State, where he took on and had an overall record of 30-9 and 15-6, including in 2024, a Division II national championship appearance. And in year one at Prairie View A&M, he was 10-4 with a 7-1 record going to the Celebration Bowl. Headed into year two, want to welcome here to the show this morning, my man, Coach Tremaine Jackson. Good morning, Coach Jackson.
Good morning, Perry, man. I need to hire you to get you to do all my introductions, man.
Hey, anything for you, Coach. Hey, you bring me over. Look, it's all swag love, baby.
How you doing this morning?
I'm good, man. How about yourself?
Doing good, man. Finally have a chance to sit down for a little bit right before we start camp. And so, man, we're enjoying it.
Let's look at this. 10-4 in 2025, 7-1 in conference play. You win the Coach of the Year. You win the SWAC Championship. You fall short and what a hell of a game in the Celebration Bowl against South Carolina State. But looking back into 2025 with that one blunder at home against Alabama State, your thoughts in year one with the Panthers?
Yeah, I thought it was a good start for us just getting here. You know, I tell people all the time, man, our program was only about 60% in last year. And so for us, we were just day-to-day trying to figure out who we are, which that's how we try to stay. But I was really proud of the collective of guys that we were able to put together late that made a decision that they wanted to go be successful and turn the tide at Prairie View A&M. And so, man, anytime you can do that, especially when you walk in the door, certainly, man, it was a good deal. But we moved on a long time ago. And like you said, fall short. We don't want to fall short no more. We don't want to have that conversation. That's, you know, Perry, that's 2 years in a row for me and some of my staff and a couple of players that are still here that we fell short. And so we don't want to fall short in the national championship game anymore. We want to make sure we're able to answer that bell.
Let's look at your offense last year. Let's go on the offensive side of the ball. Your offense third in the SWAC conference in terms of scoring, averaging 31 points a game. Then you look at total offense, third in the conference in terms of total offense, 135 yards a game. Looking at now pass offense, and we'll start there. Looking at your quarterback room and wide receiver room, you were second in the conference last year in pass offense, averaging 248 yards passing the game. Talk to us about your quarterback room having to replace a starter, and then looking at your wide receiver room and tight ends.
Yeah, man, having to replace Cam Peters is going to be a big deal. Cam started playing his best probably the last five or six games of the season. And without Cam Peters, we don't win the SWAC championship, and I don't think anybody would argue with that. But I do think we got a clubhouse leader in Tevin Carter who when we sat Cam down for a couple of games, he's the one that beat Grambling and played in other conference games. So he's coming back with returning experience for us. Tyler Nelson is in the room. And then we've added Caden Smith and Preston Brown. And so all of our quarterbacks have college playing experience, which I don't know if a lot of rooms are like that. We don't know who the starter is going to be quite yet. We'll figure that out while we're in fall camp, which is a position I'm quite familiar with being in over the last 4 or 5 years. So we're excited about him. We know this, when we name a starter, we need to have a real good backup because everybody always plays the backup. And so we got to find out who those two guys are so that we can have some success.
Your offense top three in pretty much every category in terms, including rush offense, third in the conference, averaging 187 yards a game. Let's talk about your trench play on your O-line and your running back room.
Yeah, we return every O-lineman, and we return – besides one, who's a rotational guy. And then we returned Chase Bingham, who had a lot of rushing yards for us. And, we are really excited about the run game and about the offense in general. Some of the numbers that you just said, we felt like we were late bloomers on offense. We played a lot of close games, especially early on in the season, and we hurt ourselves a lot on offense with penalties and didn't play well in the red zone in the first part of the season. We feel like we've got those issues worked on, and so we look forward to seeing how much growth we've made in those areas to hopefully get a faster start on offense this year.
Let's look over on the defensive side of the ball. You're talking about late bloomers. By midseason, your defense would put posting shutouts, and it really come on strong. And let's look at your defense in terms of scoring defense. Number one in the conference, only giving up an average of 17 points a game. Number one in total defense, giving up only an average of 274 yards a game. Number three in terms of rush defense, giving up 134 rushing yards a game. And then you were number one in terms of pass defense, giving up only an average of 139 passing yards a game. Talking about top three in all categories, offense and defense, but more in particular, talk about your defense, the scheme, and then you started to see it really become effective as the season went on.
Yeah, we call ourselves a year-to-year defense. Coach Anderson and Coach Early, our two co-coordinators, on defense, they do a really good job of being able to use the personnel that we have to come up with the scheme that we need. We want to be a certain thing when we walk in the door, and the personnel might not dictate that. So we did some unique stuff on defense last year. And normally about midseason is when we start peeking at the other places that we've been. So we kind of knew what we could do. But those guys, we were able to put together a collective of guys in a really short time that made a decision that they wanted to be the best defense. Where we've got to be better is in the run game. We need to be under 100 yards rushing. And we spent some time to try to figure that out, manipulate some things to where we can create TFLs and really get people behind the chains early on. That happens in the run game. And so if we can do that, then I think we should be okay this year defensively.
You a former defensive tackle yourself, man. How hands-on are you with those guys in the trenches?
I'm probably eyes-on, not hands-on. they know that I'm always watching, man. I'm a D-line coach through and through. It matters how we play on the D-line. I tell people all the time, teams with the better D-lines that can hold up, be stout in the run game, and get after the passer, those are the teams that are winning championships. And so we want to make sure that we stay like that. But I got a really good staff there, man. I don't they don't let me coach much. I tell the referees, my only time I get to coach is when I get to talk to the referees on game day. Those guys, I got a good staff of 26 people, man. They do a phenomenal job. We just had our staff retreat the last 2 days, and I will venture to say I got the best staff in the country watching these ladies and me and coach. And so, but we are eyes on. We are eyes on everything, but especially that D-line.
Let's look at special teams. Let's not forget that can win you a ball game or lose you a ball game. For you, what improvements in 2026 for your special team side of the ball?
Man, we've got to get a sniper-like kicker, somebody that can make the kicks that matter. Like you said, we can win your game, we can lose your game. It lost us the national championship game. We had an opportunity to win the game on a field goal kick, and we went wide right. And we had the ball in the middle of the field. And so we had a young kicker at the time. He's no longer here, but we got to find somebody that's got ice in their veins and can step up in the big moments. Because at the last two places, that's hurt us. And so all in all, the rest of the teams, we feel like we got guys that can run. So we want to make sure that we can put ourselves in the best field position possible. And so I'm looking forward to watching us on special teams because I think we have a little more depth than what we had coming in the door. And normally when you have depth and guys are fighting and competing to get on offense and defense, those competitions happen on special teams. And you normally get the best version of them on special teams. So looking forward to it. We certainly got to find that kicker, which we got three or four guys here that we got to make sure. You got to see which one that's going to come out of camp as the guy.
Your team picked to finish first in the SWAC West to repeat as champions. You look at your season starting off, you go on the road August 29th, take on Tarleton State before the Labor Day Classic with Texas Southern. Then you go to Baylor, and then you return home to take on Stephen F. Austin. Just looking at those first five games of the season, just getting your team together, and then you talk about the tough non-conference play. You believe in that, getting your team ready, because I love what you say. I'm not just a HBCU football coach. I'm a college football coach, and it don't matter who we playing. We're going out there to win a damn ball game.
Absolutely, man. You know, I told our team the other day, our schedule is broken down into two phases. We got the respect phase, which is the call to space, the Stephen F. Austin, the Baylor, the East Texas A&M. And then we got the national championship phase, which is the SWAC. And we got to win the SWAC to get a chance to get back to the Celebration Bowl. And so we look at those just like that. Man, Tulsa State is going to be a great opponent, but we're looking to finish the fight. In order to finish the fight, you got to start the fight. And so we're going to start one August 29th. Then you got to endure through the fight. And man, with Texas Southern, I thought the Texas Southern game a year ago was the West Championship. I said that when I walked off the field. Man, I think we just played the Western Division Championship game. And those dudes ended up having a really good season, and I know they're looking to rebound off of that. And so we got to make sure that we handle our business. But then when we get back in the non-conference, it's about making Prairie View A&M an elite national brand. The way you do that is by being seen and being competitive and winning. And so we look forward to doing all those things as we get ready for this schedule. But I like it. Prairie View A&M will not be the school, as long as I'm here, that's playing down. We have no reason to play down. There's nothing down about our university. There's nothing down about our football program. And so I respect those that do whatever you feel like you got to do for your football program, but we're not going to lie to ourselves at Prairie View A&M. We're going to find out exactly what we are and who we are, so that way we can get the things corrected that we need to get corrected.
Hit it for me one time, Coach. Atlanta, Atlanta, Atlanta.
It's the land of the purple and gold, man. And I'm talking about the Prairie View purple and gold. Perry, man, it's a good deal, man. People say we sung ourselves to the national championship. No, we didn't sing ourselves to it. We told you what was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And what we thought in-house. And it's amazing what will happen when a group of people touch and agree and come together and believe in a common goal. We've done that again this year, and I look forward to people seeing that.
Hey, I look forward to watching it as well. I'm a big fan of yours. I love the work that you've done, and I love the culture shift that you're trying to provide for Prairie View. Of course, it has been a tough place in terms of fan support, but you're doing your part as the head coach in order to engage the fans, to put the brand out there on not just a SWAC HBCU spotlight, but a national spotlight, and let everybody know what's happening over there in Prairie View, Texas. That's the part of the process I love what you're doing, and you're backing it up, not with just words, as you say, and singing, but with the play on the field. And in year one, SWAC Coach of the Year, and year one, the SWAC champion, and then trying to repeat. And I think much respect on your team, is the posters have you guys finishing again the top of the SWAC West, and right now a top five team in HBCU football. And I know at the end of the day, you're looking to be a top team, not just HBCU team, but a top team in the top 25 FCS.
Absolutely, man. We certainly don't get concerned ourselves with the pre. It's where you at on Christmas Day. If we got pictures of us with confetti in the Celebration Bowl trophy, it was a really good year. And that's what we plan on doing this year, Perry.
Well, everybody, that is the voice of Coach Tremaine Jackson. He is the head football coach over at Prairie View A&M, leading the Panthers. And once again, into year two of his coaching stint there. Coach, I appreciate you for taking time out of your busy schedule and taking the time to come on, not only to talk to me, but to the people out there, and giving them insight in terms of your program and what to expect in 2026.
Always, Pete, man. Looking forward to seeing you. Go Panthers.
All right. Let's get ready to take a break, everybody. We come back on the other side. We're getting ready to close things out. So you guys stay tuned. We'll take a break. We'll be back. More of the Jaguar Journal. All right, everybody, we are back. It is the Jaguar Journal. Good morning to everybody. I'm Perry White. Hope you guys have enjoyed the show. Good morning to everybody listening to Talk 107.3 FM across the Baton Rouge Capital City area, and everybody watching on our Twitch TV, on X, on our YouTube, on Facebook Live. Glad to have you guys with us as we get ready to close out today's show. I want to thank Mississippi Valley's head football coach Terrell Buckley coming on, talking to us about the Delta Devils. Sam Shade, the Alabama A&M head football coach, talking to us about the Bulldogs. Also, want to talk, Alabama State, Eddie Robinson Jr., he's finally trying to get over the hump. I appreciate him for taking the time to come on this morning. Mickey Joseph up at Grambling State talking to us about the Tigers, and Tremaine Jackson, who's the SWAC Coach of the Year over at Prairie View. I want to thank all those coaches for taking the time out of their busy schedule to come on, not only talk to me, but to talk to you guys about their programs and promote the programs as well. Listen, as we continue to move forward next week, you know, the shows get better and better and better because what you've been waiting for, football season. So I'm giving you football the way that you wanted it. I know somebody's asked me about Coach Falk. I tell you this, I've done my part. So I leave it at that. I've done my part in order to try to make that work. So I'm just showing you, for people that's out there, coaches don't have a problem with coming on this show when they understand what this show is all about. So I leave it at that. As we move forward, hey, I bring you football from every perspective that I can for what allows me to be able to do it. And I hope you guys have enjoyed what I allowed today for you guys to hear and listening to these coaches promote and talk about their programs. And I appreciate you guys for all that you do. Keep up with the Jaguar Journal across all social media. We're on X, we're on TikTok, we're on Facebook, we're on Instagram. Subscribe to the Jaguar Journal YouTube channel. Please keep up with us on Apple Podcasts, we're on Spotify. And look, as we continue to move forward, I bring you more and more football each and every week. Now it's that time of the year as we're knocking on the door of fall camp and getting ready for the season. So I hope you guys have enjoyed the show. If you missed anything, go back and listen to the show, right? Hell of a show today. You get a chance to hear these programs. SWAC Media Day just passed. I know you have, you know, many other media groups that you listen to. But if you want to hear the ones I did today, man, you're more than welcome to go back. That's why we have the YouTube aspect to archive it. So I hope you guys have enjoyed the show. I'll be back next week at the same time, the same place, as the man upstairs says the same, because always, it's the Jaguar Journal. I hope you guys have a great weekend and a great week, all right?